My Mac Podcast number 168. We've made some changes to the show. A lot of new Apple products. There's something in the air.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
No.
Oh.
As I said at the beginning of the show, there have been some changes to the podcast. My name is Tim Robertson. I'm the publisher of MyMac magazine and MyMac.com. And I'm joined today by our two co-hosts. What's your guys' name again? Guy something?
Guy, I don't even know half the time.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm from Florida. What do I know?
Guy Searles joining us from Virginia, and David Cohen all the way from the UK. Hi, David.
This is David Cohen.
Hey, you were waiting to do that, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
So we're all back from Macworld. There was so much to see. In fact, there was almost too much to see. So joining us for the first half of the show is Sam Levin. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys.
Sam's cool picks, right?
Cool Mac picks.
Cool Mac picks. It doesn't even have to be about Mac at this point, does it? Because, I mean...
No, it's all things digital, because now if you have, you know, an iPod, which, of course, is made by Apple, but you could connect it to PCs, you know, I call for those less fortunate.
Well, I don't know about Guy, and I don't know about David, but... I was so tired by the end of the show, Sam. I can't even remember half the products that I saw, but I know for a fact Sam Levin is the man on remembering the cool products, taking names, taking numbers. What really impressed you at the show, Sam?
Okay. Well, you know, there's two parts to that. That's a very loaded question, Tim. But
it wasn't,
you know,
a proposal.
Okay. I think that there are a few things that I really liked. One of them was Logitech's new remote called the Squeezebox Duet.
Yeah, it looked really cool. I took a look at that myself, but I seem to remember that the price was up there.
It's expensive. well, it's not that it's expensive. It does a lot. I mean, you could see whatever is on your iPod or your iTunes. It doesn't have to be iTunes, guys. It could be an MP3 library, so you don't have to have iTunes to run it. So you have, you know, a gigabyte to 20 gigabytes of storage of MP3. You can view whatever that is on an LCD color backlit screen.
Wow.
And walk around. It's a beautiful design. It's all black. It's lacquer black. The only criticism is that they're not incorporating RF technology. So it's a 30-foot limit. So that, to me, is kind of a gripe. And I said, guys, you need to make this RF. So they know that. This is just the first out of the gate. But I still think it's nice.
So what's one of those run to?
You know, that's a great question.
I don't remember myself. I just remember that I saw the price and I thought, ooh, well, I'm not buying one of those anytime soon.
Well, I'll tell you right now. I mean, of course, I'm on my MacBook Pro and I'm looking at all the stuff. But let's see here. It is... I'll tell you right. It is $399.
Yeah.
It's $400, and I really believe that they need to make this RF to make it powerful. They just have to. And on that note, if you want something that's kind of similar, that is a fantastic product, go to Keyspan and look at their TuneView. The TuneView is still the best remote in the business if you're an iPod owner. Now they make a new one called the TuneView for iTunes. So you plug it into your Mac or PC, and anywhere within 100 to 150 feet, you can walk around and view on a backlit color LCD small remote your library.
Wow.
It's $179.95.
That's not too bad.
No, it's a lot. Remember, they do a few different things, the two. But it's a very, very nice remote. And to me, today, Keyspan makes the best iPod remote that I've used in the business.
Well, what's the range on that?
100 to 150 feet.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, when I go take a shower, I leave the remote on, you know, on the shelf. And basically, this goes through walls outside. It's got a fantastic range because they're using RF and Keyspan. If you remember, guys, they made the first remote for the Mac called the Digital Media Remote. And so they were the ones that pioneered remote technology on the Mac. And they have a new product called the Presentation Remote. That's another cool product because you can control PowerPoint, Keynote, iTunes, and it's got a laser pointer built in, and it becomes a mouse. So that's the other product that Keyspan just shipped about a month and a half ago. So just go to keyspan.com, and you could see what I'm talking about, as well as logitech.com for their Squeezebox Duet, and you can see the cool products. Those are remotes, that is.
Right. Let me ask you a question, Sam. You've been covering all the accessories for a long time. Do you see a maturity of the products out there right now? I mean, the iPod, the iPhone, none of this is really, well, the iPhone is still new, but the iPod brand and all its peripherals out there, this is not a new market. These companies have been making products for years now. From my own point of view, I'm seeing a maturity, not necessarily brand new innovation, but taking what existed before and just simply making it better, maturing it.
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think some companies get it, and some companies are slow to get it. What can I tell you? I could give you examples of companies that are doing some really cool, unique things. Company called Chestnut Hill. Did you check out the product George?
No, I didn't.
Okay. There's a product that was at Macworld, and talk about design. It's called George, and it's from a company called Chestnut Hill. And it's a all-in-one speaker and remote. The remote is built into the front facade of the speaker. You take your iPod, you dock it on the front. It docks just like the Apple Hi-Fi, you know, on the front.
Right.
And any iPod it works with that's dockable or uses a 30-pin connection. And the remote comes off the top. Now, I was just explaining all of these different
I did see that. I thought the remote – you know what the remote looked like to me? It looked like a digital thermometer in your house, you know, control the furnace. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay. So I was just explaining the remotes out there. This takes the remote that Keyspan does and – puts it into the embodiment of the speaker. You can lift it, pull it off. It has its own docking station so that it's rechargeable. And you can scroll through all of your songs. It's a much bigger remote. It's still not color, but it is backlit LCD. I suspect the next version will be color LCD. But the speaker is really, really nice. And you can take the panels off and change them out with real cherry wood, wow. Real lacquer. It is absolutely a stunner.
So you can kind of match your decor with it as well.
You can match everything. You could put red. You could change the grills to different colors. So there's that option. The design is very nice. It's expensive. It's $499. Wow. So you're talking about something. But remember,
it's got AM/FM radio.
It's got a radio, AM/FM. You can control that on the remote. So this, if you know, we were just talking about remotes that are between $179 and what, $400.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I just gave you a speaker that has all of that.
Yeah.
And it's got audio. It's got jacks on the back as well. It's the guys really, really learned from all the rest of them. Now I still think the remote should be crisper and LCD color, which you know that's going to happen. Funny enough, the guy that came from Chestnut Hill, their director, or his VP, he came from Tivoli Audio.
Oh, and that's Tivoli, a great company.
Right. Tivoli makes great audio products. They make marine products that are waterproof speakers. They make iPod products now with docks built into it. So he brought his knowledge to the table, and I can't wait to see the product. I should get it in the next 2 weeks.
Sam, let me ask you about a product. Did you have something there, David?
I was just going to say, I think, you know, you were talking about maturity. I, having a look at this now, I mean, what it says to me is this is no longer an iPod set of speakers. It's a proper piece of hi-fi with an iPod dock built in. You know, it's kind of flipped over from being an iPod-related product directly into a music product that just happens to use an iPod. And that's why you're getting the better quality and the better design, and you know they fit much more in the living room environment than I think a lot of iPod speakers have in the past.
You know, right. I think that kind of goes to the maturity of the market at this point. There was a while that pretty much the entire hi-fi world, the audiophile companies, simply ignored the iPod because they thought
they tried to,
and it's such a huge market now. It's got so much money there. They're finally coming around. They're finally giving us quality speakers, quality merchandise that we could buy that's of high quality. It's not tiny little speakers in a little tiny plastic case that sounds like crap. We've got really great third-party support for the iPod.
Yeah. And it's
Do you think that this is response to the Apple's iPod Hi-Fi, and you think that was just a product that came out too soon?
No, well, I think that was overpriced, and it really wasn't worth the money. But what do you think of the Hi-Fi, Sam? Do you think that was an overpriced Apple gimmick to try to support it?
No, I don't think it's a gimmick. I think Apple did a audio beta test. they took a really cool-looking speaker. I mean, when that thing is cranked, the hi-fi is a party in a box, but you lose mid-ranges and, you know, on the low end, you lose a lot. So is it high-priced? Kind of. But that's not their core competency. JBL, Harman, Cambridge Soundworks, Denon, those companies, that's all they do for a living. Altec Lansing, they make audio products. So Apple probably realized that, and it was only going to be one or two ways to Apple to go with the hi-fi. Either make it amazing, truly amazing, which it wasn't, or cut it and just say, forget it, we're going to move on to what we know best. And I guess they did. They cut it, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I was going to ask this a moment ago about a product, Sam. Now, you were at the Shaw Blades concert at the same time that Guy Searle and I were there.
Yep.
The headphones that we use, the AKG K920 wireless headphones, I thought those were some of the best headphones I've ever heard. I mean, they were just fantastic. What'd you think of them?
I thought they were very, very nice. I mean, those are expensive headphones, headsets.
Yep, absolutely.
Those are going to be coming across the pond to the United States in a U.S. North America consumer branded version. And I think they're like $400.
Yeah, they were.
They're like $400. Oh. My only criticism for all of those, including, you know, Sennheiser, I have Sennheisers, which are great as well, is the controls. Make sure you make those very simple to manipulate, both on the power and on the volume switch. I mean, I don't know if you realize how many people didn't know where that volume switch was.
Yeah, so, I did notice that.
Okay, so they've got to think that it's not just going to prosumers that know all that. If they want to reach out to the big audience, it's the audience that are, you know, that don't know that. So that's my only kind of criticism. It's minor, but a lot of people said, how do you turn this on? How do you do this? So, you know, I wear headphones all the time, so I look at those things.
Do you think $400 pair of speakers, though, it really is geared towards the average iPod or computer user? I don't. I think it's a high-end product that...
Oh. I agree. But if it is, my comment hits home even more. Make sure you have those controls right on the money so they're easy to use. Make sure maybe the plus and the minus, if they're ever going to go that way, is recessed so that you know what you're pressing down, especially in the dark. So those are just like remotes on TVs. Really good remotes have those controls that you never need to see it.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about anything that is sensory based. So,
it's cool. It's Sam's cool Mac pick. So, what's a Mac pick for us? Those are all iPod or, you know, audio related. Do we have any for the Mac itself?
You know, I tell you, here is the utility that I absolutely love is called Skitch, SKITCH. These are the guys that make Comic Life. It's called Plask, PLASQ. They're based out of Australia, and Sketch is a utility that lets you take anything you see on screen and immediately capture it, and you can embed it, you can draw on it. They went public public beta during Macworld before it was private only. So if you go to Plask, P-L-A-S-Q, Plask. Let me make sure that it is Plask.com.
Yeah, that's right. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, and in fact, Donnie Yankelo, one of our writers, has been using it for a while now.
Okay, so I have that on my dock, and that's what I use. It's just a great, great utility, and if you love that, you'll love Comic Life. Comic Life is distributed by Freeverse, who makes the games, of course, and they made some really cool new games they announced at the show. Comic Life lets you create quick comic book type creations, and it uses your iPhoto library. If you choose, you can drag and drop. If you want, you can use iSight. It will use the embedded iSight camera or any other webcam. And it's great. I do comic strips and send those to people. You can embed it as an email. You can export it as an iPhoto album, as a TIFF file. These guys at Plask, they know Mac code. They understand Mac code, and they have a great user interface. So those are a couple products that I just think worked really, really well. And I got to tell you guys, there are things that you didn't see at the show, and I want to mention one of them specifically for the iPod and almost the entire iPod family, and it's a company called Gizmobi, and it's spelled G-I-Z-M-O-B-I-E-S, Gizmobi's. And it's you've seen skins that people sell that you can slap on your iPod, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
This is a skin that is about a quarter of an inch thick of this vinyl. It's a I can't explain it. I bought them when I was in Canada, and they're gonna send me about 10 of them. So I'm gonna turn you guys on to them so they can send you stuff too. And it is the best skin that I've ever used, and I've used about 20 or 30 throughout
I'm saying that this is the best.
This is, in my opinion. Now, remember, this is all personal. It's like buying a tie. Just because, you know, you like your tie, might be not that the style might not be right, but the product itself is just so well done. It's a skin that comes off. You can take it off your iPod if you want. You can use your dock with the skin on it. It comes with a front, a back, and a middle part, you know, the center dial on the iPod. So you can stick that on there too. And it's when you press on it, there's a memory foam to it almost. So it's hard to explain it until you actually feel it. I'm going to do a segment, and I'm going to feature it on my YouTube Cool Mac Picks channel so you guys can see it to understand it. But until you hold it in your hands, you really don't understand it because it's just really well done. And they've got the American flag. They've got ones of motifs of martinis. If you go to gizmobis.com, you'll see they have hundreds and hundreds, and they're available from like the fourth gen all the way up to the iPhone.
Sam, can you send me
an email? And the iPod minis as well.
I didn't even know that. I just knew that they have almost every one of them. I just spoke to their director on the phone. So what would you like, the URL or?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, could you send me an email before we're done here or after we're done here with the links to all the products that you're talking about today? So our readers can go up to show 168 at mymac.com. You'll find a link to everything Sam said, including Sam's own site. Where's that at, Sam?
Well, the easiest one, you know, you could go to samlevin.com because I have a blog on there, or you can go to youtube.com/coolmacpics, and, of course, mymac.com. And lastly, guys, go check out Cambridge Soundworks, just how it's spelled, cambridgesoundworks.com, and go look at the i765. It's an all-in-one iPod dock speaker, AM, FM, DVD, CD player.
Wow.
Everything.
Wow. And everything's right in it.
Everything is built in. It's $499. The iPhone will play in it. It doesn't have the authentication chip, but it still plays. So if you want an entertainment system, you just buy this and you're done. All you need is a TV, something that will support S-Video. That's the only caveat. It has to have S-Video, but it comes with connectors that converts. So if you don't, it still has a converter cable. So that's another thing to check out. It's one of my favorites.
Awesome.
That's very interesting, that one, actually, because I was looking for something like this for my dad, because he's got a whole pile of CDs, and he's not interested in ripping them to his iPod. You know, right. He doesn't want to sit in front of the computer and do it. So he says to me, he says, I want to listen to my iPod for the stuff I buy off iTunes, but for my CDs, I want to listen to, you know, to those on the same system. This would be a perfect fit for that.
Right. It's for anyone in a small room or doesn't want to invest in a bloody system that they've got to go set up speakers. Cambridge is known for their audio. They have superb audio. And by the way, they're a subsidiary of Creative Labs.
I've been testing and using their products for years and years, even before I got into the Macintosh. And Cambridge Soundworks makes some excellent speakers.
They do, and they're not expensive. I mean, this is a $499 product, but remember, everything is built into it. My only criticism, and I've got to always give a little criticism, is it's not HD.
Yeah, so, that is a problem.
So, well, it's not a problem.
It is for me, because I ruled it out immediately. As soon as you said S-Video only...
I know, and here's the issue. They're marketing it on their page, and they're showing LCD flat panels. Well, those flat panels are minimum 720p. So you're never going to get that out of a DVD. You're never going to get that out of an iPod. So I said, I understand why they did it. They had the product. They had it. It was ready to go. So they said, we're going to get this out. The next version, I believe, will be an HD version of it with HDMI support. So, and my other gripe, it's the remote is not RF, and it really needs to be RF to be totally functional, so you could be in the kitchen and not have to point the bloody remote at the unit. So I'm an RF freak. So,
well, thanks a lot for coming on the show today, Sam, and we will be right back with the MyMac.com podcast.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, I'm Richie.
I'm Jim.
Line.
Andy.
And that's Andy. Join us each week at Destroy All Media.
What is Destroy All Media?
It's our TV and movie podcast.
Is it the same boring movie reviews that you get everywhere else?
Yes.
Is it the same TV and movie reviews you get everywhere else?
Why, no, Jim. It's funny. It's wacky. It's zany.
Good golly, Maru. It's fun.
You can catch us on destroyallmedia.net or catch us on iTunes. Thank you.
And thanks to Sam Levin for coming on the show and providing us with some really cool information on some really cool, great Matt picks. So, we're left with David Cohen, Guy Searle, I'm still Tim Robertson. So, what do you guys think? You guys see anything at the show that really jumped out at you? Let's start with Guy.
I think I talked about it on one of the podcasts.
I know what you're going to say. You're going to talk about the snowflake.
No, I'm not going to talk about the snowflake. But the other thing was from iFrogs, the Vibes, this little, I mean, literally very, very small speaker that for $25 connects to your iPod via its audio out jack, and you're good to go. And considering what it cost and the size of it, it just sounded amazing. I was really, really blown away by it.
You going to pick up a pair or maybe get a pair for review?
Yeah, I've got a business card from them, and I think I'm going to try to get one for review. It was just a really, really cool little device.
David,
I like the Belkin Podcast Studio. I thought that was quite an interesting product.
I like that as well, except it used AA batteries and it won't supply phantom power to a really good microphone, which they said.
XLR mics?
Yeah, the XLR. I mentioned that, they were like, oh, well, why would you want to? And I'm thinking, well, that's the best mics that you can get, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, it didn't support...
Otherwise, it had an XLR.
Well, it's got the faux XLR. I mean, that it's not one for phantom power. It's like the handheld microphone that you would have, Guy, with an XLR plug on the end. So,
well, yeah, that kind of defeats the whole purpose.
It also doesn't support USB microphones, which I thought was strange because those seem to be all the rage nowadays. So, yeah. I don't know. It seems like a great first concept. I know it won one of the best in shows at Macworld Expo. I don't think I would have given it one yet. It seems too early, and it's missing some really key features, which to me was phantom power microphones and with real XLR connections and a USB microphone. And am I mistaken, but it did not have its own microphone. Is that right?
No, I think it did have its own microphones built in.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think the concept is if you've got your iPod in there, it will work very similar to the Edera recorder that John Nemo is using in terms of, you know, it would be a handheld device with all the dials you can for tweaking levels and that sort of thing on the front. So, I don't know, it looks interesting to me. From my point of view, I mean, I'm not really used to using phantom power mics. From my point of view, it looked like a relatively low cost way to get a decent handheld recorder for the iPod. I mean, I've used the Belkin one and the I think Griffin do one, don't they? That slots in the bottom. But I've had mixed results with those. This looked like a different take on that concept.
And it was called the Podcast Studio. Is that what it was called?
I think so. Yes.
And who made it again?
That was from Belkin.
That was from Belkin Studio. I'm looking it up right now on the internet, trying to find out how much it was.
$99.99.
Was it $100?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yep, I'm looking at it right now.
How about that microphone we saw from Extreme Mac that we saw a beta of?
Well, let's not talk about that because that was kind of it's a prototype, and they're probably not ready to talk about it, Guy.
Okay.
A couple of the things from Apple that everyone's been talking about, and I did want to cover a little bit, the MacBook Air. It was interesting. We're going to have Owen Rubin on the show soon. He was going to try to come on tonight to talk about his hands-on time with the MacBook Air as well as our meeting with Microsoft. But from what I saw him using it in a few minutes of playing with it myself, it definitely felt like a first version of a product. It was a little janky in some places, like when you try to rotate a picture using the trackpad. It didn't quite work the way I thought it was going to. And it
wasn't as intuitive?
Well, it just didn't work as well as I thought it was going to, if that makes any sense. It when you tried to rotate the picture, it was doing it in steps instead of doing it very slowly or very fluidly. It was like stepping it, like, okay, here's 5%, now it's 10%. So that was kind of strange. But overall, though, the MacBook Air seems like a really great product. And you know, I was watching the CBS morning show today, which I usually don't, but I had the regular news show on, and that comes on like every 10 minutes into the program or so. And I saw the greatest product placement ad I've ever seen in my life. Harry Reisner, I guess his name is? I'm not sure. Does that sound right, Guy?
I think isn't he with ABC?
Well, this is a CBS show, I believe. So I'm not sure. They were talking. He pulls out a MacBook Air because they're located right next to the Apple Store, the big glass cube in New York. And he pulls out a MacBook Air, and he's just slobbering all over it. And he's opening it, and closing it, and showing how thin it is. And then a few seconds later, the whole cast is sitting on a couch, and he's still holding it, and he's still talking about it. And he says, "Everybody here on staff is drooling over this one, but this is mine." And he puts it under his arm, and I thought, wow, did Apple pay them to do that? Because you couldn't ask for a better commercial. It was just amazing to me. I've never seen that level of pandering.
I think that's actually part of the genius of the product, to be honest. I mean, I've heard several comments over the last week or so where people have said, "Oh, you know, I'm not sure about you know," and they there's the same old things get listed off, and you know, "I'm not sure about the size. I'm not sure about the, you know, whether I want something that thin. I'm not sure whether it's got the right
number of ports
on it. No optical drive, blah, 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 blah." But then a lot of people who've actually seen it then say, "But despite all of that, when you pick it up, you want to buy it." And I think that's really the genius of the MacBook Air, is that you know, the design is something that is very tactile, and it really is a flagship machine for Apple just because of the look. I mean, I can guarantee you with once the writer's strike is out of the way and Hollywood and the TV industry are starting producing content again,
more money.
You know, all the good guys are going to have MacBook Airs in all the TV shows and all the movies. Because, you know, that will be the machine that designers want to see on the screen just because it looks really cool.
Do you think the next version is going to be like the width of the keyboard itself? So it's going to be a lot smaller and compact, but yet still super thin?
No. My view on this is that Apple have made a very conscious design decision. They wanted to do an ultra-portable, and they've decided that they don't want to compromise the usability by having a smaller keyboard or a smaller screen. So they've then therefore gone for this, okay, well, if we're going to stick with a 13-inch form factor, where else can we take the weight away? And they've gone for this this very thin design. And I believe, you know, they believe that that's their market differentiation is going to differentiate themselves from every other ultra-portable on the market. I think that's very much their view.
Well, I know at the show it was almost impossible to get over to the table where they had all the MacBook Airs, and every single one of them was being guarded very zealously by an Apple employee.
They're not bolted to the table there.
No, they just had that. They had a little. Some of them had what looked like a little small cord.
No, that was for the power cable. Part,
just, yeah. Well, yeah.
It doesn't have a Kinston lock thing on it like most laptops do, like every laptop does. There's no way to lock this thing down to a desk.
Yep.
Well, it just seemed like it was impossible to get over to see it at the show. There were just so many people, you know, even the ones that were like, I'd never buy something like, well, there they were right there. You know, I mean, just looking at it and touching it and not wanting to walk away to let somebody else more deserving like me, for example, get over and have a chance to look at it.
I could say when Ruben and I got our hands on one, we just basically bowled our way in and pulled it away from a lady. We were like, okay, we're next, thank you. And this guy, kind of to Owen's left, kind of looked at us like, dang. But then he saw that I had a video camera, and I thought he must have thought, oh, okay, I see the press badge, and they got a video camera. They get to go first. Little did he know that, you know, that's not the case. another product that was released today or yesterday, I'm not sure, I think it was yesterday, was a brand new iPod Nano. It's a pink one.
Oh, right, the pink one.
Yeah, $200. It's a pink Nano. No different than the other $200 iPod Nanos, but, you know, it's for Valentine's Day, and I think Apple is very smart. They released this thing a couple weeks before Valentine's Day, and if you're looking for a high-tech gadget to get your wife or your sweetie, boom, there it is. A pink Nano.
Yeah.
Smart.
Aren't they also contributing some of the, like, kind of like with the RED program, contributing something to, I think, breast cancer or something?
Yes, I think that is the case. But I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it as well as I probably should. The other big product, of course, as far as I'm concerned, now the Apple TV, Guy, you asked this on a podcast during the week. The Apple TV actually wasn't upgraded, except the new ones have the new software in it. No, there's no change in the physical hardware at all. It's exactly the same machine, except it's now $229 instead of $299. And the software is there.
I'm a bit annoyed about that. I was thinking about buying one, but they're not reducing the price here in England.
Really?
So the price here is still £199, which is the same as it was before Macworld. So that's $400. It was already more expensive than you would pay for it, but the fact that they've now knocked $70 off the price in the US makes it even less attractive. I wonder whether they'll save the price cut until Europe is allowed to have the iTunes movie rentals, because until they get the licensing sorted out and that, we're not going to have movie rentals either.
That would make sense. They probably haven't sold a lot of them.
No, up until this point, there was really no compelling reason for most people, unless you had an extensive movie purchase history in iTunes. There's really no reason, or maybe subscribe to a lot of video podcasts that you just don't want to watch them on your iMac. There's really no reason up until now, until Apple made the announcement of movie rentals in the iTunes Music Store, to have the Apple TV. Yeah. And now, of course, with the new Apple TV, you don't even need a computer. I think that's going to be a huge selling point because you're not going to have to sell the Apple TV in a store like Best Buy only that has computers. You can sell this in any electronics store. It's going to work no matter what. Sure. What if you don't even have a computer, you don't need one. Well, you still need a wireless router for it, but anyway. Yeah. Yep.
It's got an Ethernet port on it.
Well, yeah, but you still need the
network. Why would you have a router if you didn't have a computer? Right?
Yeah, gotcha. Exactly.
Yeah.
The other big one was Time Capsule, $500 for 1 terabyte. That's a lot of storage. Comes with an Airport Extreme station built right in. Guy, I bet you're kind of wishing that you wouldn't have got the one that you do now and you waited for this one, right?
Well, I actually got the very first gen, which had the 300 ports, and I'm pretty happy with it. I know that my wireless range on it is vastly improved over the Belkin unit I had before, and you know I really don't have any complaints.
What about you, Dave? Is this something that's going to be of interest to you, or?
Well, I've also gotten a fairly recent Airport Extreme. I only bought it about 6 months ago, and while it's nice that the drive is integrated, it's not strong enough a sell for me to say, well, I'm going to get rid of my Airport Extreme and replace it with one of these. My concern with it would be, particularly in my home, is that most of the computers are quite a long way from where I have to put the router, and so sometimes I can have some difficulties with sending large files wirelessly around the network. So having the drive actually on the other end of the wireless connection probably wouldn't be as attractive for me. I'm not sure that I would buy one at this stage. It will be interesting to see. I mean, everyone's been speculating about whether they'll firmware upgrade the older machines Well, you know, why would they?
And the point of that is, to me, if they did that, that would pretty much allow anybody to
sales.
Well, they, at that point, then you could slap another external fire or a USB hard drive on this unit,
right,
and get up to a terabyte a lot cheaper than what Apple's selling it for.
Yeah,
I mean, I could buy a terabyte hard drive right now for $399,
and they're still selling the old units. So, you know, the non-Time Capsule units. Just looking on the Apple site here, so it will make a lot of sense for them to enable that functionality on the older units.
Updates to the iPhone
software. I imagine it'll be a hack.
Updates to the iPhone software was free. Updates to the iTouch was not free. How do you reckon that at all? That makes absolutely no sense to me, that the update to the iPhone, which added functionality, was free, but yet the iTouch, which simply added a couple of applications that would have run on it natively had Apple decided to put it on there from the beginning, they're charging $20 for it. That doesn't seem right to me.
Well, it's apparently something to do with accounting rules.
Yes.
Sarbanes.
Sarbanes-Oxley. And the financial rules for the iPhone are different because it's paid for on subscription. Apple's receiving money from you as a customer every month via AT&T. So I think that's the reason why. I think the only question mark in my mind about that is $20 sounds a bit steep to me for the functionality they've added, but I suppose they want to make sure that people who are maybe thinking about getting an iPhone go for the iPhone rather than go for the Touch and then pay the $20.
I think it's to appease current iTouch users so they can get this functionality, but it's really designed to get more people who were not going to buy the iPhone and were waiting for the Touch to have some of that functionality. Now they can, and they can buy it at the same price as the old iTouch, and it's got this new software already built in. You don't have to pay extra for it.
Oh, of course. It's only an upgrade price if you've got the older Touch.
Exactly. In fact, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't think there's anything in Sarbanes that stipulates how much they have to charge for an upgrade.
No, they could charge 99 cents.
Yeah, why $20? Why not $5?
I can answer that one pretty easily, Guy. It's perceived value. If it only costs $5, people don't perceive as much value in the update as it's really worth. If Apple charges $20 for it, it looks a lot better. Plus, you also have, you got to figure a lot of people, if not everybody, is going to buy the upgrade via credit card. So Apple's going to have a lot of incurred costs by processing those credit cards, and they want to make it worth their while. At least that's how I look at it. I'm not saying I agree, but yeah. I think that that's probably the reason. The other big thing, of course, iTunes movie rental. I still haven't rented a movie. The reason being, 24 hours is just not long enough. I think it should be 3 days. But
at least 36 hours.
Yeah, and new brand new movies are not going to be made available until 30 days after the DVD is released. I don't understand that reasoning at all.
Well, you know, that's got to be to appease the movie studios and their deals with the Targets and the Walmarts. And, you know, they want to be sure that new movies as they come out are going to be bought up as DVDs by anyone who's interested in buying them instead of being tempted to just rent it and you know, never buy it again.
Yeah, but if that was the case, then how come I could still go down to Hollywood Video or Family Video or Blockbuster and rent the movie, rent the DVD, and the day it comes out, I don't have to go buy it. I can still rent it. And it's cheaper to rent the actual DVD in a store. For me, it's between $2.79 and $3.99, so it's still going to be cheaper.
The attitude of the movie companies is that if you're downloading some sort of digital file, the first thing you do once it enters your computer network is you start putting fleets of crackers onto it, trying to get it hacked open out onto the internet. And that's precisely the only reason why they've said, oh, it's going to be 30 days, because they think as soon as it gets on iTunes, then somebody's going to hack it and get it out on a BitTorrent. Of course, there's no way to rip a DVD when it comes out on the day of release and get it up on BitTorrent that way, is there?
No.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Absolutely,
yes, there is.
Impossible. Absolutely. Okay, here's the last thing I want to talk about the keynote. Steve Jobs I don't know, have either one of you actually watched the entire keynote yet?
I saw the 60-second.
I've been watching it.
Okay. I did watch the entire thing. I actually watched it the last night, the night before I left. Via aircraft. And so I watched the entire keynote. I downloaded it in iTunes. I didn't want to stream it, so I finally got to download it. I wish I would have waited, because now you can download it in HD. But I watched it at the very end of the podcast. Steve Jobs says, in the first 2 weeks of 2008, let's look at what we released. Last week, the Mac Pro 8 Core. This week, Time Capsule. Software upgrades to the iPhone and iTouch. iTunes movie rentals, a completely reinvented Apple TV, and the MacBook Air. That's in the first 2 weeks of 2008. And at the end, he said, and we still have 50 more weeks to go. And he had the sly little look on his face that only Steve Jobs can do. So what's that mean? 50 weeks to go, and only in the first 2 weeks of 2008, look at all these great products that Apple has released. Well, we think they're great. Most of us haven't touched any of the new stuff. Although I did upgrade my iPhone. What do you think that means? Do you think we're going to see a lot more released from Apple this year? Is this going to be a banner year for new products coming from Apple? Let's start with David.
I think probably you're right. I mean, let's face it, they were really distracted last year because they had two big operating system designs going on. They were trying to get Leopard finished, and they were also trying to get the iPhone operating system finished. That, you know, Apple is, in the grand scheme of things, is not that large a company, and you know, that was obviously a real drain on their resources because, as we know, Leopard was delayed. I think now that they have those out of the way, they can really focus on upgrading their hardware products, and I think we will see probably the entire lines by the end of this year replaced with newer products.
What do you think, Guy?
I think David's absolutely right. The only exception I could think of would be the iMacs. They just did a redesign on them last year. But I'm expecting we're going to see a relatively new design for the MacBooks and the MacBook Pros. I think, I want this so bad, and Apple just won't give it to me. I want a Core 2 Duo Mac that doesn't have a freaking display. Just, you know, something that I can put bigger drives in if I want to, or you know, make the little changes that PC people can do very, very easily with basically the same type of computer that I'm using right now that I can't.
Yeah.
Before we get into the wackier stories of stuff that happened during the Macworld Expo, because we definitely want to talk about some of that stuff, a little bit of a programming note. You're going to see some changes on the MyMac.com podcast as well as our site, MyMac.com. I've mentioned on the show last week that we're going back to our MyMac magazine name, and that's going to happen within 2008. It's not going to happen next week or even the week after that, but it is coming. As for the podcast, we're going to focus a little bit more on the technologies that you, the Mac users, want to know about. We're going to do a lot more interviews. We've already got a couple lined up. AOL is going to come on the show, and they're going to talk about releasing a brand new Mac client and what they're really, where they're taking AOL in the future. We're going to have Freeverse Software come on because that was the company that made the product that I was so enamored with at the Expo, and that was Periscope. I do have a review copy now, and I have started using it. So far, so good. I'm not ready to talk about it much more than that. But the biggest change for the podcast itself is, David, you're going to be our new regular co-host, correct?
I am,
And Guy Searle, you're not going anywhere.
Nope, no, I'm stuck here in Virginia until my wife lets me out.
And I'm going to be here. But the big change is Chad's no longer going to be doing the podcast, and we're really going to miss Chad. But, you know, his work life is very, very busy. He's a manager in his company, and he really needs to devote a little bit more time to that. And he just hadn't been able to stay on top of the technology that we're all using every day. So Chad's not going to be on the show anymore. It was a good parting. He's still my best friend, so nobody thinks that we had this big fight. We didn't. Chad won't be here anymore, and I already kind of miss him. I'm used to doing a podcast standing or sitting right next to someone physically. So now I have to stand or sit, metaphorically speaking, next to David and Guy.
Well, wouldn't want to sit physically next to Guy, really, would you?
No. But the good thing about
that...
But
he's done it before.
I've done it before. But the good thing is I'm taller than David, but much shorter than Guy, so I'm just kind of in the middle somewhere. So welcome to the show, David. I'm glad you made the decision. I hope we don't keep you up too late at night over there in the UK, because we do record nighttime in the East Coast here in the U.S., so...
It's fine. Sleep's very overrated anyway. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your sacrifice a lot. Let's talk a little bit about last week and some of the funnier things that happened. First, I really want to thank, once again, the people who showed up to the MyMac.com podcast listener meetup. That was just a fantastic time. And you both were there.
We were. And, oh, yeah. It was really, really interesting, actually, to meet, you know, to meet real listeners who you know, were able to comment on the work we do and the shows and what they like and what they don't like. It was really very, very interesting.
Now, David, you came
and
to the
show. Big props to BJ.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
BJ is the man.
That's right. And of course, his friend David was with him as well. And then there was Eric and Mark we saw as well. And it was really very good.
Okay, I got it. David, you came from into the MyMac fold from listening to the show, correct?
I did, yes.
What was the first show that you listened to? Do you remember?
The first clear memory I've got of listening to the show was when it was round about the time you and Chad were choosing the new theme tune.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I remember you had several people sent things in, and then you chose the one that we're currently using. And that's my first sort of clear memory. In fact, the reason I got onto you is I was listening to another Mac podcast called from the My Mac Guys.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're not podcasting
yeah,
anymore.
That's right. But somebody commented on one of their shows that they confused their show with yours. And that's what made me say, well, I must go and listen to the other one and see what that one's like. And that's actually how I picked up on it. And, of course, I was really pleased to not only discover the podcast, but to find you had a really big active website behind that with all sorts of stuff going on. And that's really how I got into My Mac.
So, Guy, the podcast, had we been doing the podcast when you joined MyMac.com already? I think the podcast came after you did, correct?
Yeah, I came, I believe, in late 2003, early 2004 was when I started writing. I can't even remember how I found the site. I think it was an article at MacSurfer or something like that. And honestly, from the very first time that the front page came up, and you know, I'm not trying to, you know, KMA or anything, but the first time the site came up, I was like, you know, this is a site that I can really, really get into. And I started commenting on some of the blogs and the features, and then you and I had a back and forth on an article you'd written. And then I think I had told you that I had been writing for the local user group here in the Washington, D.C. area, the Washington Apple Pie, and you invited me to start writing.
Yep, I remember that very well. You know, it's funny, I've been here since the very beginning, and I've seen a lot of people come and go. And yet, going to the Macworld Expo and finally getting to meet a lot of the staff members, some for the first time, some returning. This was the first time I got to meet David Cohen in person, which, by the way, David was great. Thank you very much for coming. I mean, we really appreciate that. That's a long flight for you, and I know that, yeah, you had business in the area, but you still showed up, and we really appreciated that.
Wouldn't have missed it.
And Guy, of course, knocking on your door Tuesday morning with the video camera.
Oh, that was funny. I hope everybody had a chance to see that video.
Yeah, if you go up to mymac.com, you're going to have to scroll down a little bit because we've got a lot of stuff posted up there. But look for video day one at the hotel, and you'll actually see Guy laughing at the hotel or in the picture. It was a lot of fun to do that. It just kind of spur of the moment thing. And so, anyways, let's talk about some of the fun stuff that we did at Macworld Expo. And Guy kind of compiled a list. And the first one on there is, Guy, you and Larry checking out Devo at the IDG party. How was that?
Oh, yeah, we went to the Mac Blast party. And my brother Larry, and, you know, obviously most people listening to the show don't know him personally, but he's a real big jazz guy. If you read his stuff at you know, on the blog side of mymac.com, you'll realize he's really, really into jazz. So when I found out that Devo was going to be the band for the Mac Blast party, I was, you know, kind of wondering how Larry was going to take that. Now, he was pretty good last year when they had Cheap Trick, but that's more of a, you know, Cheap Trick was more of a standard rock and roll band as compared to just a way out kind of act like Devo.
And well, Devo's a band that's never really taken themselves seriously either. I mean, they were always kind of a jokey band when they came out.
Sure, but, you know, they've been around for, what, almost 30 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still kicking it. They got the gray hairs, and, you know, they're probably a little bit heavier than they were back when they were doing videos in the 80s.
Guy, I'm but heavier than when we started this podcast over 3 years ago.
I think I'm heavier than when we started this podcast 50 minutes ago.
I hear you there.
But the party itself was great. I ended up I ordered two burritos while I was there, and when they came, they were just monstrous. They were, you know, wrapped in tinfoil and just huge. And when this waitress literally dropped them on the table and the table shook a little bit, I knew I was going to be in trouble. I ate one of them and couldn't even open the other one. I didn't even want to open it and look at it.
Anything comes to your mind, David Cohen, any wackier moments? Because, I mean, granted, you were only at the expo proper for one day, but you were in San Francisco for three, right?
That's right, yeah. Well, it was funny, you know, when we were all trekking around as a group that first night, we all, I mean, it was a bit, I've got to admit, it was a bit overwhelming when I first came up to the hotel room, because I was really just expecting maybe you and Guy and Larry to be there. And, you know, I sort of banged on the door and opened up, and there was like 20 people in your hotel room, it seemed like.
And it's not a very big hotel room at all.
No. And of course, we all then wandering off looking for food. And funnily enough, we seemed to do that an awful lot over the 3 days.
Imagine that.
We were always on the hunt for particularly with Guy. I mean, you could always tell when Guy was hungry, because effectively he would start being directed around San Francisco by smell.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
And we would just see him charging off, and then we'd all have to follow along.
The thing was Mel's Diner was kind of became the de facto MyMac eatery.
MyMac Central.
Yeah, but Guy towards at least Thursday is like, I don't want to go to Mel's no more. I'm sick of Mel's. Well, let's go somewhere else.
Not so much for dinner, not so much for breakfast. Breakfast was fine. You know, how much can you change eggs and pancakes and all that? But I really didn't want to eat there anymore for dinner.
No, I was getting a little tired of it for dinner myself. Yeah, so the funny thing is, David, walking around the streets of San Francisco, we had this big group of Mac users with us. And
that's right.
When you think of a nerd, when you think of that term or a geek from the movies, it didn't look like the group we had with us. I mean, we had a couple black belts with us and seven-foot guys.
Biker gang.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I really felt kind of like a gang leader at that point. It was quite odd.
We were
walking down the street going, shh,
What were you saying, David?
I was going to say, we really were more of a crew, weren't we?
Yeah, it was. And I don't know how the restaurant kind of responded to us when we walk in. We're like, we need a big table. They're like, let's see what we could find. Yeah. So, Guy, you want to talk about the Samurai Warrior?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The very next night was the Backbeat Media Party, with Dave Hamilton and their whole bunch. And we, Larry, Tim, and I got into a cab at our hotel, and we were on our way down to where they were having the event.
Talking a lot.
And we were in the back seat. Yeah, we were in the back seat just talking about tech stuff. You know, we hadn't had enough of that after 2 days. And all of a sudden, we're all kind of looking out at the same time, and we see this guy start to cross the street on this road that was, kind of perpendicular to where we were. And our cab driver starts to turn down that street where this guy is crossing. And all of us at the same time just kind of went, and sure enough, he barely is able to slam on the brakes. And he hit the guy. Not enough to hurt him, but it pushed him back like, 2-3 feet. And the guy just kept walking.
No, he didn't just kept walking.
He out his window.
He walked more towards my... He was saying, what the something, as he walked towards my side of the cab, and he's looking at the cab driver, and he looked at me, and he's looking back at the cab driver like he just saw a Martian or something. He just could not believe that he just got hit by a cab.
Yeah.
And then the cab driver saying... He came out of nowhere. He didn't come out of nowhere.
Didn't even see where he was. Yeah, all three of us saw him. So all the way in the rest of this cab ride, it was like dead silence in the back seat. We were all like hoping against hope that nobody else would cross the street while this maniac was driving us. Didn't want to be responsible for it. Well, anyway, we get there.
Well, wait a minute.
Not really too much happening yet.
We're coming down a hill in the cab, and I see these two ladies crossing at the end of the street, and we're coming down this hill in this insane cab driver's car, and all I'm thinking is sticking my head out the window and yelling, get out of the way, run for your life.
Run for your life!
Run!
Oh, my God. So, we get to the event, there's really not too much going on, and this probably won't be a big shock, but I was very, very hungry. And we decided that we were going to walk down the street, and you could look down the street and just see restaurants everywhere. And we were going to go find something to eat. So we start walking down the street, and, nothing was really hitting any of the three of us as far as, being something we would like to get. And we ended up crossing this last street, and I think we crossed, like, an imaginary line from respectable to decrepit and didn't realize it. Because it was like suddenly the whole city just seemed darker than it had been before. And I looked over and I saw this fish and chips place, and it looked kind of dodgy, but we decided to give it a try. I talked Larry and Tim into going in. So we go in, we get our food, and we're sitting there and we're just talking, and suddenly this guy in the street is holding a broom like a samurai warrior standing in the front of this car. You could tell he was just drunk out of his mind, and no idea how it started.
Go ahead.
And so we, he finally just walked away, and we ate our food, left there, and on our walk back, there's this guy who decided that the street was the perfect place to use as a urinal.
Yeah, that was
that was nice. And he's just standing there.
I like the when we went to the Shaw Blades concert. And I did post an article up on mymac.com about it. Actually, it's on the blog side. And when they first came out, they told us, they being the people that was holding the concert, that we could only really hear the music well if we wore the headphones. So the musicians are coming out. It's pretty quiet in there. I say to up there towards Tom Shaw and Jack Blaze. I said, can you guys hear us without wearing headphones? And, you know, he's 5 feet from me, and he basically told me to shut up. And then I'm
but getting, in a nice way.
Yeah, but then I'm getting hit because, David, we're so close to these guys. I'm literally getting hit by broken guitar pick fragments as Tommy Shaw is playing. He's playing, and the guitar pick pieces are just pelting me on the chest, and Larry is sitting right to my right, is looking at me like, do you notice you're getting hit by guitar picks here? it was kind of crazy. Hey, Guy, did you how many, I don't know what you'd call them, little advertising cards did you get for adult entertainment places walking between the West and the South Halls?
Oh, every single time. There were girls handing out cards to strip joints when you were leaving, going in one direction or the other way. It didn't really matter. They were there. They were ready to entertain you.
It was a great week. I had a lot of fun. Obviously, I didn't get away, as Guy knows, from the expo like I like to do when I'm in San Francisco. I like to at least take a half a day, get out, look at San Francisco, go do something other than the expo. But, you know, we were so busy this year, Guy, we never even had the chance, did we?
Yeah. Well, we did that last year. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf, but there just wasn't time to do it this year.
No, and you know that it's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, but we were going out and doing interviews and podcasts, I mean, right up to the moment when they started to break down the press room.
Yeah, you know, I listened to the last podcast that we did. That would be 167.
That was the best one of the week.
I think
that
so.
That was hilarious. Listening to them just basically, the union guys just breaking the place down around you and just ignoring the fact that you're there recording.
It was loud. It wasn't as loud on the podcast as it really was in the room. I mean, it was unbelievably loud. So that's our show for this week, number 168. For 169, we'll record that next week. It'll be released on Friday, February 1st. I can't believe it's almost going to be February already. That's crazy. This has just been a really fast month. But we're going to have a representative from Freeverse Software. Again, they make some great Mac. Burning Monkey Solitaire is one of their games, if I'm not mistaken.
Monkeys.
And
love the monkeys.
You know, Freeverse has been around for a long time. We've never had them on the show. I'm going to review the Periscope program that they released just recently that I was enamored with at the Macworld Expo. So
that new game they had it's not out yet. I think it's out in a couple of weeks. Was it Neon something?
Yeah.
Was really something to look at.
So
Neon Tango.
Yeah. So if anybody out there is listening and has any questions for Freeverse Software, feel free to send them in to tim@mymac.com. And we will see everyone next week. We'll have David from the UK, Guy from Virginia, and me sitting in the basement freezing my butt off because it's not a heated basement. It's 18 degrees here right now, so I am cold, and I'm going to end the podcast now, guys. See you later.
Okay, see you next week.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.